Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's just get serious for a moment and want to find out what is the difference between, there was a study done recently and a paper was published, what is the difference between antiviral drugs and ivermectin, and how effective are antiviral drugs compared to ivermectin on COVID-19 patients? To answer our question is Professor Colleen Aldous, clinical researcher at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Good afternoon and how are you?
Hi there. Very well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And happy Human Rights Day.
Ah, thank you. Very appropriate discussion for Human Rights Day today.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the study. Who did the study? When was it done? And when was the paper published?
I don't know if the paper's published yet. I've done a quick search for it and I've contacted a few colleagues. I think there was a press release.
Okay.
It hasn't yet been published. But we can compare ivermectin and the antiviral drugs if you want to talk about them. But I can't talk to that study in particular.
Okay, so let's do that.
Okay, so ivermectin has always been used as an antiparasitic. It means it's used to kill off things like worms, some scabies, various other little nunus that cause diseases. The antivirals that have been used in COVID have been recently developed. We've got an antiviral coming from Merck, who produced ivermectin decades ago, and that's called molnupiravir. And that is a nucleoside inhibitor, and it currently costs $700 per course. That's what the American government is paying for it. Then Pfizer has also got an antiviral called Paxlovid. It contains an old antiviral called ritonavir. That's currently going at $530 a course. But then these companies have said that they will allow generic companies to make these drugs cheaper for the developing world countries. But I think the agreements there are linked to how long the WHO will keep the pandemic defined as a pandemic. As soon as the WHO says the pandemic is over, those kind of agreements are going to fall away. Ivermectin has been used as an antiparasitic, but in 2021, December 2021, 3 months ago, a paper came out in one of the Nature journals, the Journal of Antibiotics, that showed that there are so many potential mechanisms of action that ivermectin can actually also act as an antiviral. And there were at least 20 mentioned in this particular article. So there is evidence that ivermectin is not only a parasitic, that it has action against virals as well.
Very interesting. Do you think that the pandemic is forcing us to look at how medications work on the body? I mean, I was watching something the story behind Pfizer and how they didn't initially want to take the BioNTech, let me start again. Jeez, my brain is just not cognating.
It's one of those afternoons.
It's one of exactly.
Sometimes there's no way around getting out of a sentence like that. It's just there.
Okay, so what do you think, Colleen?
I have an opinion on it too, but that's okay.
Okay, so
now.
All right.
Yeah, we've got to know what we're taking, what we're putting into our body. And what's become clear to me, it should have been clearer to me before the pandemic, is how people want you to believe what they want you to believe. And I think we've got to start looking at things ourselves. And I'd like to highlight another paper that was done on ivermectin last year.
Yeah.
And just to show you how the people are trying to mess with our heads. I'm going to give you two groups of patients. I'm going to give you an intervention and the standard of care. The intervention group, 3 people die out of 241. The standard of care group, 10 people die.
Okay,
which one would you like to be in?
Okay, but just explain to me as a layperson what the difference is between standard of care and intervention.
Okay, standard of care is what everybody's going to get, and the intervention is the new medication.
Okay.
So the new medication group, 3 people die, and in the standard of care, 10 people die.
Well, you want to be in the new medication one.
Maybe.
In the medicated group, we've got 4 that get onto a ventilator. In the standard of care, there are 10. Which one do you want to be in?
Well, you want to be in the one with the lesser. Well, it all depends.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
In the intervention group, 6 go to intensive care. In the standard of care, 8 go to intensive care.
Hmm.
Yeah. When it comes to progressing to severe disease as defined by the WHO, which means that the oxygen saturation drops below 95, which is not life-threatening as yet. In the intervention arm, there are 52, and in the standard of care, there are 43. So this is the first time the standard of care group to be better off. This was a study that came out last month. It's the ITEC study that comes to a conclusion that ivermectin does not work. I've just given you the stats in the paper of ivermectin having 3 deaths as opposed to 10, 4 patients on ventilators as opposed to 10, 6 on ICU, etc. So I really think we've got to start being very aware. We can't keep believing what's fed to us. We've got to become much more aware of what we're going to be taking into our bodies, what we're going to take as medicines going forward.
What were any of these people vaccinated who were in ICU? And I mean, what does the study say?
Half of the people were vaccinated in either group.
But the
study doesn't say, so it just seemed that there was no difference made in the vaccination.
Now, my understanding of these kinds of controlled studies is you'd have to match people in terms of age and previous medical history and race and sex and allergies.
And this particular study was published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's a highly regarded journal.
Sure.
And that's the kind of results that's being published. They say that ivermectin has no effect because there were more people who reached severe illness than in the standard of care, yet so many more people died, went to ICU and got onto a ventilator. So we've got to start looking more deeply at results and what people are trying to make us believe.
But also it sounds like it's incomplete. Because if you look at people who died, you know, in the study, for example, that you quoted, the paper that you quoted that was published on antiparasitics versus, or antivirals versus ivermectin, you know, how many of those people who died in intensive care, oh no, that was the second paper, sorry, but how many people of those people who died had the vaccination? Because it seems like it's incomplete. We need more information. It feels like these are skewed studies. Would you agree, Colleen?
I really do think that, I think I've told you this for the year or more we've been chatting, that I've never been a conspiracy theorist, but there seems to be an adamant campaign to talk down ivermectin.
Yeah.
Still continuing.
So interesting. So interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting for the study that comes to the conclusion that a really good red wine and a nice gooey brie cheese are the best possible preventatives.
I think I can tell you by I've just got a hunch that that'll work.
It's kept me going. I mean,
yeah, some fava beans and a little Chianti.
No. Let's not go there.
Colleen Elders, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for just putting up with us this afternoon.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much. That's Professor Colleen Elders, clinical research at the University of KZN.